All right, let's turn to Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4. And we're going to read verse 21. Tell me, ye that desire to be under the law, do ye not hear the law? The natural mind knows that there is a God, and the natural mind knows that God is our Creator. And because He is our Creator, He is our Judge. We're told in Hebrews 4:13 that all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. And you may recall the description of Adam and Eve when they had eaten of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. We're told that their eyes were opened, and they knew that they were naked. They saw as God sees. Everything's naked before the Lord. He knows our shame. He knows our sin. He knows our nakedness. Nothing's hid from the true and living God. And we were in Adam when he sinned and when he knew that. And so we know. We know that we are naked before the true and living God. And we know that we shall face him in the judgment, in the day of judgment. We're told that it is appointed unto man once to die. And after that, the judgment. The judgment. Now, the scriptures confirm this very truth to us, that we know. We know. In Romans chapter 1, in verse 18 and 19, we're told that the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. For God hath showed it unto them. God's shown every one of us that He is God, that He is our Creator, and we shall stand before Him in the day of judgment. Now, because this is so, there's a natural desire in man. There's a natural desire that's in man, and we know that the natural man is enmity in God, against God. The natural mind is enmity against God. And this natural desire in man seeks to find a refuge from God. The natural mind seeks to find a refuge from God. He doesn't seek reconciliation with God. He seeks a refuge from God. The scriptures tell us that no man seeketh after God. The natural mind is not seeking after God. He's not looking to be reconciled to God. He's seeking a refuge from God. He's trying to hide himself from God. I'm going to read from Genesis 3, verse 8. I want you to turn there. I want you to see this. Genesis 3, 8. We see that Adam sought a refuge from God. Genesis 3:8. Adam had just taken a bite of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And when he did that, he and Eve knew that they were naked. Their eyes were open and they were naked. And no sooner had they got some fig leaves together and sewed them together to try and cover their nakedness. But that in verse 8 it says, they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from, see that, from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. They sought a refuge from God, didn't they? They sought a refuge from God among the trees of the garden. Another example where man is found seeking a refuge from God, look over at Revelation. Go to Revelation chapter 6, the last book in the Bible. Revelation 6, and we'll pick up in verse 15. The Lord showing us that from the beginning of the book to the end of the book, the natural man, the natural mind of man is enmity against God, and he seeks a refuge from God. He's trying to hide from God in his sin. It says, verse 15, and the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, and every free man, hid themselves in the dens, and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us, and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? We see they're seeking a refuge from God. That's man. That's the testimony of man. He seeks a refuge from God. You know, I remember, I think it's been about 10 years now, I was reading an article in the New Yorker magazine, and it was telling us about all these wealthy people buying these homes underground. There was some investor purchasing missile silos, I guess, that were used for ICBMs, intercontinental ballistic missiles, and they were converting them into dwelling places. They were building floors and rooms on those floors for people who could afford it to live in them if there was ever a need to hide out, to protect oneself underground. And so I saw that, and then I kept seeing these articles, and I think it was 2 years ago, Michelle and I were driving east of Springfield. I think we were on Sunshine Road going to look at a chicken coop. And I look over on the right side and I see this ugly structure. It was just a tan concrete type structure. It wasn't pretty at all. It looked like the FBI building in Washington, D.C., just ugly. And it was about one story high off the ground only. And that's because it was a dump, what's called a deep underground military base. And so all the building was under the ground. And there's things like that around the country, and I guess in other countries as well. And in fact, I even saw a TV program before I ever moved here that there's some guy, a wealthy guy, a rich man, and he had bought built a castle in going down towards Branson, and underneath supposedly he has some structures down there underground and some passageways, roadways that could actually carry a tractor trailer or something like that, supposedly. So you see that there's people, for whatever reason, building structures to hide out from whatever they think is going to be. Now, I don't know what it's going to be like in that day. I don't know whether they'll have any time but to think about it, but to cry out when Christ comes again. But today, in our day, right now, there are men and women crying out for the mountains and the rocks to fall on them, looking to Mount Sinai, fall on us, cover me, you stones of the tablets of the law, fall on me, cover me from the face of the Lamb. Hide me from him. They're calling to the law. They're looking to the law for a righteousness to provide a refuge from the face of God, who shall meet them in judgment. They're going to meet God in judgment. Paul asks, tell me, ye that desire to be under the law. Do you not hear the law? You're going to be crushed under the law. If you seek a refuge from the face of God under the law, you shall be crushed. It will not save you. It shall not deliver you in that day. You shall come under the curse of the law and be crushed by it. Our Lord was saying something very relevant to this. Turn over to Luke 14. Luke 14. Let's go to verse 31. Our Lord says there, Luke 14, verse 31, "Or what king, going to make war against another king, sitteth not down first and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? Or else while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an embassage and desireth conditions of peace. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple." If you would have peace with God, not need to run from God and hide from him, but if you would have peace with God, there is reconciliation provided in the blood of the Lamb for sinners. That is where we find peace with God, in the blood of the Lamb, being reconciled to God. There's no need for a refuge from God in the blood of the Lamb, because he reconciles us to the Father. There's peace, there's fellowship, there's friendship and love and comfort and joy in the blood of the Lamb. We need a reconciliation with God, not a refuge from God. And that reconciliation is provided freely, fully, sovereignly, sufficiently in the blood of the Lamb of God. And that's the difference between the natural mind, which is enmity against God, and the new man, which is born of the Spirit of God and dwells in the people of God. And they dwell in the Son of God, their salvation, their hope. One seeks a refuge from God in the law, where it's cold. It's a dead letter religion that cannot save, that cannot protect and deliver. And he seeks salvation in coldness, in darkness, in death, in things that provide no covering. While the other, born of the Spirit of God, seeks reconciliation with the Father in the Son of God, in him, believing him, trusting him, knowing that he is the Savior of their souls, knowing that we have no hope but in Christ alone. Look to the Son of God. He is the righteousness and peace whom God has provided for his Son. Now, Paul describes going to the law as a desire. It appeals to this flesh. The natural mind, the natural man desires this law, this going to the law. And we saw from Revelation 6 that it's because we're trying to preserve ourselves. It's about self-preservation. It's about self-righteousness and thinking of ourselves more highly than we ought to think. It's about protecting ourselves. And this desire is not of the Spirit of God. This desire to hide from God and find a refuge from God is of the flesh. It's wicked. It's of the flesh. It's darkness. It's evil. It's about keeping God at bay. Which means it's about keeping him at a distance. Just stay back. I got this. I'm doing what you asked me to do, Lord. I'm angry about it. I'm bitter. I'm not happy, but I'm doing what you said for me to do. Just stay back. Stay back. And that's why the flesh turns to the law. It's looking to be justified. It wants peace. It wants to be comfort. It wants assurance that everything's fine, but the flesh is looking in all the wrong places. It's not looking for reconciliation. It's looking for peace from God. And therefore, the flesh doesn't seek after the Lord. He never looks to God for peace. He doesn't look to God for comfort. He doesn't look to the Lord for the assurance of faith, which is given in Christ. Now, one of the examples that Paul had referenced in this letter to the Galatians and showing us where the flesh goes is seen in verse 10. So Galatians 4, verse 10. Let's look there. And Paul points out that these Galatians, which had been charmed by the appeal of circumcision, by the appeal of doing something in the flesh like circumcision, moving on from Christ and getting themselves circumcised, they had done some more things. They didn't stop there. And he says in verse 10, "Ye observe days and months and times and years." And when I read that, it reminds me of a time in my life when I was under great duress. I was very stressed and I was greatly afraid and shaken. And there was only so much that I could do each month to help myself, to work myself out of the trouble that I had brought myself into. And because I could only do so much, I had to sit and wait. I had to wait. And wait. And what I began to do was one day I woke up and I made the bed. And then I went downstairs and I put the dog out. And I brought the dog in. And if there were some dishes on the counter, I could put the dishes in the dishwasher or I could empty the dishwasher. I could take the garbage out and put it in the garbage can. And on the days when it was going to be picked up, I could take that garbage can out to the curb. And when I got home from work, I could bring that garbage can back up from the curb and put it next to the house. And I liked that. It gave me something to do. And I felt some comfort in that because I was in control of something. I had control. I could do certain things until the next time there was something else to do. And that's what's so appealing about the law to the flesh. It makes us feel like, hey, I'm in control. I'm doing the little things that I have to do. I'm keeping things moving forward, and I'm doing what I need to do. It's about getting things done. And it gives us that sense that we are in control rather than depending on and waiting upon the Lord, rather than trusting the true and living God. And so when we're doing the law, we're trying to ensure that we are laying up for ourselves some kind of refuge against the judgment of God, that we might bring that judgment down and that we would be accepted and received by the Lord. We're laying up by the works of the law something to help ourselves against that day of judgment. But there's no love in that. There's no life in the law. There's no peace in the law. There's no fellowship with God in the law. There's only a working, a laboring under fear and threat of judgment and worry. That's no hiding place for you that believe the Lord Jesus Christ. For you who have no righteousness, the law is no hiding place. And yet we see the Galatians were desiring that. They were desiring it. And Paul asked them in Galatians 4:15, he asked, "Where then is the blessedness he spake of?" Where's that blessedness? Where's the life, the love, the fellowship that you spoke of? That joy and rejoicing that you just poured out of you, hearing of Christ and what he's done to put away the sins of his people. The law is fleshly. The law is carnal. And in the hands of man, it's enmity against God. Because man is fallen, dead in trespasses and sins. Whereas faith is not of this flesh. Faith is of the Spirit. Faith is of the Spirit of God, whereby we walk in the light of God, having fellowship with Him, walking in the Spirit by faith, trusting His Word, believing His Word, hoping in the promises which He has made to us freely in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're confident in God that we live in it by His Son, in the Son, and that we by Him are the adopted sons and daughters of God. There's love there. There's rejoicing in Christ. And we're thankful. We're thankful that we're not under the law and under condemnation and in darkness and coldness and threats and worries and doubts. We have the blessedness of the Lord Jesus Christ. What a blessing. The appeal of the law is a fleshly appeal, and it's not of the Spirit. Look now at Galatians 5, 5 and 6. Galatians chapter 5, verse 5 and 6. Paul said, "We through the Spirit," not the law, "through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith." Right? When I was waiting, I was doing things by the law to feel some kind of comfort in keeping the threat of what worried me at bay. But we, brethren, wait for the hope of righteousness which God has promised to us in His Son, Jesus Christ. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision. The flesh profiteth nothing, but faith which worketh by love. There's the blessedness. There's the blessedness that the child of God speaks of. We've been given faith by the Lord, and He's formed love in our hearts for Him, establishing us in the blood of Christ to have fellowship with God, to be at peace with Him, to not be trying to work our own righteousness and our own salvation, resting in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you believe in Christ, don't be turned to the law for help. And if you do, Paul, the Apostle John wrote, you've left your first love. You've left your first love in turning from Christ, looking to the law, if ever you did love Him. You've left your first love. Now, the next thing Paul asks in verse 21 is, do ye not hear the law? Don't you hear what the law is saying to every son and daughter of Adam? It's cursing you. It's calling curses upon you. Look there at Galatians 3:10. This is where we hear this. Galatians 3:10. Paul says, for as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. Once you look to the law for your righteousness, for your help, any help in salvation, you're under the curse. Why look to the law for wisdom? I get wisdom from the law. I look to the law for righteousness. Well, I wouldn't do that, but I look to the law for my sanctification. It cleans me up, makes me holy, makes me feel good to stand before God. I look to the law for sanctification. Well, you might as well look to the law for redemption then, because that's what you're saying. But God makes Christ all those things to the child of God. God hath made Christ to be wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption to the child of God, so that He is all our boast and all our confidence. And looking to the law, that's just like looking to those little things like days and months and times and years. And Paul says, cursed is everyone that continueth. Rather, the scriptures say, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things to do them, to do everything in the law. Now turn over to Deuteronomy 27. We should see this. This is where Paul takes that verse from. Deuteronomy 27. And we're going to go to the last verse, verse 26. All right. Deuteronomy 27:26, there it says, "Cursed be he that confirmeth not all the words of this law to do them, and all the people shall say, Amen." Now look up at the verse before that, verse 25. And the first word in that verse says what? Cursed. Look at verse 24. The first word there says cursed. And just scan your eye up each verse. Cursed, 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 cursed. Verse 19, cursed, 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 cursed. Verse 15, cursed, cursed. Cursed is everyone who practices idolatry and worships a false god. Cursed is everyone who doesn't honor their parents. Cursed is everyone who steals from their neighbor, and so on. And it's 12 times just in those verses. And that's just a few of the laws contained in the commandment of the Lord. That's just a few of them. It's there 12 times. And what our Lord is, what he's showing us there is that, well, even when you get to the end there, even if you think that you found a way to justify yourself before the law, and even if you think you've got an excuse to excuse yourself from one of the laws, or maybe you didn't understand that it meant that, or maybe you just forgot. I forgot. That's no excuse. You've bound yourself with a curse under the law. Eternal death, separation from the true and living God. You're under the curse. Cursed be he that confirmeth not all the words of this law to do them. No excuses. You're confirming, whether I understand it or not, this law is true. It's true, and I've bound myself under the curse. And all the people shall say amen. Not if you agree to this, just you're saying amen. You're bound under the curse of the law. Well, think of that man who on the Sabbath day, right? He had just, the law had just been given. Just been given. And now it was the Sabbath day. And this man goes outside and he picks up sticks. He picks up sticks. And he said, "What are you doing?" So I'm just getting some sticks. I gotta warm myself. I gotta prepare some nourishment for myself. I have some needs I need to take care of, and I'm getting some sticks. Right? And others ask, what's he doing? Doesn't matter what he's doing. Doesn't matter what his excuse is. You're under the curse. You're under the curse. You must be put to death. Gather up the stones, boys. We gotta put this man to death. He's breaking the law. He was working on the Sabbath day instead of resting, right? That's what he was doing. He was working instead of resting. And that's what everyone is doing who claims to believe that the Lord Jesus Christ is their peace and their rest before God, their righteousness before God, but believes, yet I've got to do works in the law. And the very act of observing the Sabbath day for sanctification or righteousness, that very act of observing a day in the week, is actually working and breaking the rest of that Sabbath day. Because that Sabbath speaks of Christ. He is the Sabbath rest of his people. And so doing a work under the law is actually breaking the law, because you're working when you should be resting in Christ, and you're trying to work a righteousness for yourself. You're saying, I need some sticks. I need to warm myself. I need to make a little spark, a little light before God. I'm just trying to get the flame and get myself worked up for the Lord. Yeah, you're working. You're not resting in Christ. You're laboring for your rest and your peace. And that's contrary to the Lord. That's actually breaking the law, because you're not resting in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so that there is rebellion against God, who said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." He's the rest that I've provided. Cease from your labors for righteousness and trying to work a righteousness and a justification for yourselves, for trying to make a refuge for yourselves from God. Be reconciled in the Lord Jesus Christ. The correct hearing of the law is found in Romans 3, verse 19 and 20. And it says there, in Romans 3, 19 and 20, "Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin." Now, you brethren who believe Christ, who look to Christ, you hear what the law saith. You know, because you've been taught by the Lord. We know that I'm dead in trespasses and sins in Adam. We know I have no righteousness, and I cannot make a righteousness for myself under the law. In my flesh I am condemned. Apart from Christ, I have no hope before the true and living God. We need the righteousness which God has provided. We need that reconciliation to God, our Creator. We must be found in the one whom He's provided and sent, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He came and bore witness to the true and living God and told us the truth, working perfect righteousness, having no sin or guile in Him. And He went to the cross as the Lamb of God, taking His people in Himself, bearing our sins in His own body on the tree to make an atonement, a covering for our sin, to put away our sin and wickedness, to put away our death in Adam, to deliver us from all our wickedness, and made a righteousness for us before God. He is our very righteousness. He is the hope of the child of God. He is the promise of God made unto His people, chosen in Him before the foundation of the world. And His blood redeemed us, purchased His people, delivering them from death and darkness and the prison and the bondage of the law, and gives us life by His Spirit, who reveals Christ in us, who gives us that hope of righteousness in Him, and looks to Him for all our salvation and comfort before our God. And so this flesh wants to look for a refuge from the true and living God. But we look to Christ, who said, "If you believe not that I am He, you shall die in your sins." There's no refuge apart from Christ. But thanks be to God, we have more than a refuge. We don't have a refuge from God. We have reconciliation with God in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the blessed, precious Savior whom God has provided. Look to Him. Believe Him. Call out to Him for mercy and salvation. For God promises that all who believe Him shall receive the forgiveness of sins, and they shall not be ashamed in that day, for they shall not be naked before Him who sees all things, but they shall be robed in the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.